You are now listening to the Conversation Room podcast with Reese Alisa. Step into the conversation room because we have a lot to talk about. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Conversation Room podcast with Reese Alisa. I am so excited about the guest that we have on today. If you are a Married to Medicine fan like myself, you see who we have on. Let me just read her bio and then we're going to get into chit-chatting a little bit, honey, okay? Letitia Lumford is the newest member of Married to Medicine Season 10. She was born in Arkansas and raised in Killeen, Texas. After high school, she enlisted in the United States Air Force Reserve as a pharmacy tech. She holds a bachelor's degree in integrated studies from the University of North Texas. And now Letitia now resides in Atlanta, Georgia with her husband, Dr. Gregory Lumford. Everyone, round of applause for Miss Letitia Lumford.
Yay! Burr, 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 burr. Thank you. You're so sweet.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm just in the midst of traveling and visiting my family. I got a wedding to go to this weekend.
How was your Christmas?
It was great. You know, we stayed at home. I cooked the Christmas dinner, really Christmas Eve. You know, the works, the dressing, the turkey. You know, I had some corn. We had some mashed potatoes, some sweet potato pie. You know what I'm saying? Just the little, you know, just something a little slight.
Come on now, good old Southern meal, honey.
That's right.
Baby, we love a Southern meal.
me and Gregory, we kicked it though. We just watched movies and, you know, spent some intimate time together. You know, we didn't travel, but we had a great time just watching movies, catching up on Power, you know.
That's fun. That's fun. Yeah. I love Christmas. It's one of my favorite holidays. I'm the type of person, I love when it gets here, but then I'll be so excited when it leave. It's so overwhelming to me.
And it is.
I am a giver. So anybody that I meet, I want to go get them a gift. And I'm the type of person, I just don't know how to stop. So if I give you a cup, I need to give you like the matching accessories.
Right. So I could be the same way, man. But everyone's like, I wouldn't say I'm big on like Christmas and gift giving, because me and Gregory, we actually exchanged one gift this year. He got me a purse. I really appreciate a Gucci bag, and I was like, oh, that was really sweet. And I actually got him a some cologne that he wanted. Like, Gregory's very simple. Mm-hmm. And around like Christmas, sometimes it can be overwhelming for people. It can be, you know, it can give people anxiety, you know, not knowing what to get people or not having enough money. And you know, people stress out for getting gifts just for that one day for somebody, you know, and I told Gregory, like, I love the family aspect of Christmas. Like, I love it. Like, the family, all the cousins and everybody getting together, we playing games. And that's the part that I love. And the Secret Santa thing is really cool. But I told Gregory that I didn't want to stress over, like, getting gifts and stuff like that when we do have kids. They're going to have everything they want. And they, you know, need, but also I want to make sure that they know there are kids that are less fortunate, people that don't have what we have. And I want us to go and like volunteer during that time as well. So, you know, and give that way too, you know, so, you know, we both have giving hearts.
And that's one thing I do love about you that we're going to later get into in the show. You volunteer a lot of your time. And I think that it's just one of the most beautiful things that as humans we can do to give back to people who are less fortunate than us, especially yes. around the holidays, because it is like you said it is difficult, you know, stressing about money or, you know, stressing about getting the kids, you know, different gifts, yes. stuff like that. So I love that about you, and we're gonna touch on that. But this first half of this show, honey, we gotta get to the mess, the drama.
Yeah, let's get to the mess.
First of all, so just walk me through how you ended up on Married to Medicine.
So I ended up on Married to Medicine kind of through my husband and through my castmates. About 2 years ago, when me and Gregory were just dating, I met Jackie and Heavenly at their first 50 Shades of Pink, and they approached me about the show. And I can tell it was so weird because, like, I was like, oh Lord, here they come with this mess. They came on their golf cart. I was at one hole with Gregory and his friends, and then Jackie came up to go give me a gift, and it was Heavenly too. And they came. I could tell, like, it seemed like Heavenly. She admitted it now, but she seemed like she was like recording with her phone. So that thought that was strange. Like, I guess she was sending it to back to the ex. But yeah, so it's like I guess she was recording with my phone. But they was like, hey, why don't you think about joining the show? And we were just dating, so I was like, well. And also, I worked for the government, so and I was in DC at the time, so that just wasn't gonna work out. So they were asking me about it, and then the following year came, and I went to the next 50 Shades of Pink. This time, me and Gregory were actually engaged. And actually, Heavenly wasn't even there. Jackie was there, and she's like, "Well, Heavenly want to come and talk to you." So at the end of the golf tournament, Heavenly, she came in because like Jackie's like, "Don't go nowhere, don't go where." She's almost here, and she went to she pulled me off to the side. She finally came and started talking to me and about the show. And she's like, "It's a one in a lifetime opportunity. You can open up doors for yourself and your family members to market." So. And actually production did reach out to us and we started talking to them, just trying to see what they was talking about. And a couple of times we did say no, but then eventually, I got to know Heavenly and she was like, just come on now. This is just a one in a lifetime opportunity. So I know I've been through a lot of things in life. I've been through the military. I've been through, a lot of obstacles within the military. Went to school and then joined the, I worked for Director of National Intelligence. So I was just like, why not? This is another thing just to say I did it. You know what I'm saying? So I'll go ahead and do it. But I was texting her, I was like, I don't want no mess or anything like that. Like, I'm not coming on to this show just to show that, like, oh, Gregory's a better version of that. Like I like of what he had before or trying to debunk anything. I came on the show just being myself and like this is who I'm marrying, this is who I'm in love with, and that's what I'm gonna showcase. I didn't care about what happened in the past because it was irrelevant to me and it was, it's old news. So I just came on like I'm gonna be me, and I'm gonna showcase my life and what it is now.
Was the Heavenly back then, 2 years ago, was she the same Heavenly that is on that the show is that the show is showing now?
Yes. See, the thing is, like, she was very friendly to me. In the beginning, was like calling, like, let's go hang out. She came over to the house. She took me out to eat one day. Like, she was cool. Like, we was talking a lot, and she was just trying to give me the ins out of the show. And she came over or whatever, but I guess it really was just to get material for the show. I mean, fast forward now, and like, I had no idea that she was talking about behind my back. Like I had no idea until that bachelorette party scene. Whenever that scene was going on, I can tell she's just being so like phony and fake. Like I was just she'd been talking crap about Quad, and then it was like, now you, oh, let me give you a hug. Like, girl, what? It was a lot of fakeness going on, and then she was trying to like start drama between us. To pit us against each other, and I just didn't like that. So, and then like my maid of honor, she did communicate back to me what she was saying when I was in the bathroom in that scene. So, I felt some type of way, and me and my maid of honor, my sister discussed it, and she got off the list. And I think that not too long ago, it was Simone saying that. Because I was saying that Heavenly's fake, and she's like, she's not fake. She's not. I'm like, no, she is fake to me because that's my experience with her. She presented herself to be a friend to me in the beginning, like trying to get to know me. We hung out a few times, and I just felt like, okay, maybe she's not that bad. Like they have to realize that, they keep saying that I'm naive, but they have to stop being naive, thinking that I came in the show and knowing who they were. Like they have to think like I came on this show not knowing everybody, and I was going to give everybody a chance. I wasn't going to take Simone's word over Heavenly's word over Toya's word. I wasn't going to do all that. I was just going to, like, you show me who you are. And once I know who you are, I'm going to believe you. And that's it.
So now looking back on it, do you feel that that photo y'all took together, you and Dr. Heavily, do you now feel that that photo was maybe some ammo?
Yeah. For whatever reason, like, as you know, I think that Heavenly goes back and forth. Like, she a flip flopper. You know, she made me want to go make Hungry Jack pancakes because she's so damn flip floppy. You know, so it's just like she does this. I think that, like, she's the messy bitch on the show. Just she a messy bitch, and that's just what she is. She ain't nothing else more. She a one trick pony. That's it.
And I think
Oh,
that's something that we do, we all are aware of Dr. Heavily. She is extremely, extremely messy.
right. And I thought surely, you know, with me not knowing the background of the show too much, like, of course, everybody thinks that I watched the show, but I didn't watch enough to really know what's going on. Like, I catch the highlights. I can catch just as much, you know, about Love and Hip Hop, or I don't watch the show, but I hear about it. You know, I hear about it. I see the highlights on Instagram, the blogs report on stuff. I know what I need to know. So if it's something that's hyped up, but I didn't watch it enough, and I would have known that maybe with Heavenly, but then again, like, I'm still just that nice person where I just come in and just get to know people, and I found out who she was. This is what it was.
Have you met Mariah?
I've never met Mariah. I actually follow her. I know that she this is her show. She created the show, and I appreciate what she's done. So I do follow her, and I do watch her content.
Would you like to meet Mariah?
I would actually. I think that would be nice. You know, she's the creator. She put everybody on the map. So, you know, I have to give her flowers for paving the way for someone like me to be on the show.
Okay, so you mentioned that you joined a Facebook group that was kind of catered to younger women dating older men, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I too have dated older men. I prefer older men. Just throw
Okay.
that out there.
Okay.
So is this group still up and running on Facebook? And have you been back in the group since the season has aired?
Yes, I have. I have been back in the group. I kind of just give advice. You know, I sometimes share my story. Like, I've been sharing, like, okay, yeah, you know, me and my husband got married. I did a post for that, an engagement post. I did that. And you know, there's women that are also newly dating, and I'm giving advice. Like, some chick was saying that she some guy wanted to give her flowers, but kept asking for her address. And I was like, well, if you know that's a boundary that, you know, no man can have your address, then he need to understand that you need to block him. So, you know, I just, you know, I give advice, you know, even with some of the relationships they share, you know, their mo little experiences with their families, accepting their relationships. Sometimes that's a obstacle, which it kind of was a little bit for me. But I think that there's a reason for these relationship groups. And with me being on the show, I think I'm finding out why we need more relationship age gap groups, because we want to be accepted as well. Like, you know, I get all the flack for having an older man, and he's my sugar daddy, I'm his sugar baby. And it's just, that's not, I mean, you know, if they want to say we role playing, whatever, but, like, you know, I don't want Gregory to be offended by those things. Like, you know, I want him to feel comfortable being around people without judgment. Like, we just a regular ass couple, just like everybody else. And we just got an age gap. That's it. You know, that's it.
Now, your sister did an interview, and honey, when I saw it, it reminded me of Beyonce's song Cozy, when she was like, "Might I suggest you don't fuck with my sis, okay? Because honey, that was your sister.
That was
That was
her. Yes.
her." How did you feel? How did you feel about that? And what do you think is going to come out of that from Dr. Heavily going into the reunion? next. That is going to be filmed next month, everybody. Just throwing it out there.
Yes, yes. You know what, my sister, I can't control what Kanisha says. Kanisha's gonna talk, you know, regardless. Kanisha's gonna do what she do, and I'm gonna support her. And out of respect for my husband, I haven't really said that much in the media about any, well, I have, I ain't gonna say I haven't. I had, you know, I've been going, I talk about heavily, if she say anything about me, you know, I'm the type of person that matches people energy, but Kanisha, she is as well, but she's a lot more vocal. But out of respect for my husband, I am vocal as well. I just haven't been. And, you know, just trying to keep the peace in the home, you know what I'm saying? That's all I'm trying to do. But Kanisha is always gonna have my back, you know, and I think what was the second part of that question? I think you asked something.
What do you think is going to come out with your sister? The reunion. With your sister doing that interview, how do you think Heavenly is going to respond to that? Do you think she's going to respond directly to you, or is she going to get on Messy Monday with Carlos King and discuss it? Or do you think like she's going to clap back at your sister?
She's already been saying stuff like about my sister and all that. So the bitch ain't got shit else to do but sit in her closet and talk to Carlos King. I'm just saying. Carlos at the lips. So her and him, they gonna sit there and kiki. Cause it ain't nothing new. Like, we just coming to the reunion. You can talk about me. I'm a drone on you. She's a walking reed, really, she is. And you know, we gonna have fun. We gonna have fun at the reunion. That's what it's gonna be.
And I'm definitely looking forward to the reunion. And speaking of Carlos King, would you ever do an interview with him?
I won't. You hear that? I won't.
I heard you. Because someone was in your life, the most recent one that you just did. Mm-hmm. And they made a really good point how Dr. Heavenly and Carlos always talk about how they love you, but they shade you.
Yeah.
So
they do.
I just find that very interesting.
Right. You know, I mean, how else is anybody supposed to take that? You know, I saw someone sent me something that she was saying about me, and it was like I was talking stuff about her at BravoCon or whatever. Like, the bitch be reaching for shit. Like, just reaching for the air. They be reaching for anything. Like, I ain't never seen nobody just say I'm thirsty. You thirsty, for real. Quench.
Yeah. Because listen, the way she be calling you little girl, if she call you little girl, honey, I must be a toddler. Okay, cause she that little girl ain't nobody tell that little girl.
Oh, yeah, right. but the way she conducts herself is as like it's childish, it's adolescence, it's little girl energy and activity over there. Yeah. So it's like I don't even, you know what? When people just be ignorant, you just let them be ignorant. You know what I'm saying? I recognize ignorant. I've been ignorant. I can go there. Ignorant recognize ignorance. So I let her do her thing and let her do whatever it is she want to do in her closet.
So who are you closest to on the cast?
I would say probably Dr. Alicia. I probably talk to her a lot more because we're newbies. And I know that in the recent videos, they haven't really showed much of Dr. Alicia of the episodes, but she was here there the whole time. You know, she definitely added a lot of commentary, but like we can't control how the edits are. So you will probably see a lot more of Alicia the second half of the season. I love her. Like we talk all the time because we newbies. Like we talk all the time. Like, oh Lord. If we talk about every, I would say about every other day. And then I talk to Simone. And I talked to Toya and I talked to Phaedra. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Have you and Phaedra had a conversation about the most previous episode when Quad was at the table and she basically got uninvited from the trip? And how
She
did you,
did.
what's your thoughts on that?
So when she, yes, she brought, yes, she did bring the ex to a bachelorette party. She did. They didn't show it, but I was mad. I was mad about it because regardless of
I
what,
would be too.
Yeah, I was
TV,
still
no
mad
TV.
About it.
Like,
right,
this is my
right.
real life.
This is my real life. And I was mad about it. And I was like, you could have just asked me or put me off the side if you want to do something for me. But I understand there are certain things that got to be done in the name of entertainment. However, you still should have called me. But anyways, but I did at one point get pissed off. And I did, I actually did threaten to bring her ex-husband's new wife to one of her events. It definitely was there, but I was there, and I told her this the other day because we talked on the phone about this, and I was upset with her, and I was like, because she's like, Heavenly said that you was gonna do this. I was because I was mad, but I did not, out of respect for her, I did, but I did get in her ass when we was in Sonoma. We definitely, I was upset. And she was like, Leticia, you got to stop, threatening to whoop people's ass. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Let me just calm down. Because the Texas is coming out of me. But they didn't show. See, they don't be showing me. I think that they're scared to show that. They really don't be showing me. It's all of me.
They probably going to show it in season 2.
They might, I don't know, but they really don't be showing all of me. I'm like, well, y'all just gonna edit that out? Okay.
So how do you feel hearing just the little comments about you living in the ex-wife's home?
I just think that the people that comment on that is just like, they probably sitting at home and, in their own bed, ain't even changed the sheets. Was living with their baby daddy. He moved out, moved the boyfriend in, didn't change the sheets. Like, I mean, the ones that look, I looked at the profile one day of a few of them, I'm like, come on, man. Come on. For real. I can't take y'all seriously. For real. For real. You talking about what you can't do. You will never be able to do. So it's just like, to me, I'm not going to get a new home in the sake of making everybody else feel comfortable in the room, or I don't even know these people. You don't walk in nobody. I didn't know the house. I didn't know the ex when she was in the house. That ain't got nothing to do with me. It was no feelings in the house. It was empty when I got there. It was just him. He'd been there for what, 4 or 5 years by himself. So it was no type of feeling of, oh, I gotta get a new house and all that. I hired the cleaners. They got rid of the stuff that was in there and it was gone. Like, that's how we did that. And it's just like, who does that? I'm not going to make a financial decision like that in the midst of decorating the home, getting ready to film a show, plus getting engaged within, planning a wedding within 6 months. Like, we had just bought a new car. Like, I'm not doing all that for the sake of, to make people feel better or rent a house. I mean, that's just, ain't that ghetto? I mean, it's just down ghetto. That's hood rat talk.
Now, I do want you to clear up, because Dr. Heavenly did say that production paid for your wedding. So,
she know it did. She know it did. They didn't. She know.
So why is she running with this narrative that production paid for your wedding, and that was the reason why, when you uninvited her from the wedding, that was the reason why they begged her, as she said, to come back in, and for her to sit down.
I don't think that they begged her. I mean, they probably was trying to see the film, the show, whatever. And there's a lot of things that were out of my control because I was getting dressed. I couldn't, I didn't really see what was going on in the front of the house because I was in the back getting dressed and you know, film, you know, I was filming and all that. So it was just a lot going on at, you know, I couldn't really just be everywhere at one time. And I didn't know what the production really planned to do when they were filming. But no, we paid a lot of money. They did pitch in some, but we paid majority of that.
Gotcha. Okay. So first of all, your wedding was beautiful. I love your dress. You. Yes, yes, yes. So how is your, you know, your first year of marriage going?
It's going good. It really is. Me and Gregory, we've just been hanging out and, you know, just getting to know each other, because I think that you always grow. You're always growing. And one of the things that we decided to do is we created core values for our relationship and for our marriage. And that's growth. That's putting each other first, and prioritization. And it's love and respect. And we try to abide by those rules and always remember when responding, even if we're upset, to just remember to use that, remember these things. And, you know, like, we've been doing really good just hanging out. We did have to get rid of the dog because it was stressing me out while we were filming. So I did get rid of, I would say fully got rid of him, but my neighbor has him most of the time. And we've just been kicking it. You know, we actually want to start like our own age gap group. You know, we actually, because we're getting people reaching out to us saying like, you know what, my husband is older, and you know, we understand what y'all going through. Like, you know, we get it. And you know, it'd be nice to all maybe have a plan, something for us to like gather and hang out and stuff like that, because we love just meeting other age gap couples. So like, oh hey, you know, we love meeting other people like that. So we're working on some things like together. He's gonna help me with this tea business. He's gonna come through for you, sister. So he's gonna do that. I've been also telling him like, why don't we come out with like a beard growth thing for him, because he's so fine. I was like, you need to showcase that. I'm like, you so sexy with that like gray beard. I'm like, you really can beard. Yes, like he can do something with that. Like, I, you know, every lady like a little seasoning.
Dr. Gregory Lumford, if you're listening, honey, start up you another business, okay?
Right.
Now, were you worried about, you know, putting your relationship out on television? Because they have this thing where if you put your marriage, relationship out, whatever, on reality TV, it's going to end, you know, it's going to just basically end. Were you a bit worried about that?
I would say I was a little concerned, but then again, I did think about the cast that we have on the show, and I was like, okay, well, they're able to do it, you know what I'm saying? And they've been together. I think the only people that got divorced was Gregory, you know, and I think that he discussed with me there was trouble prior, you know, prior, before they got married. So I just think that, you know, I think that there's a possibility that it could work. It just didn't work out for him in that instance. And, you know, we just thought maybe we'll try it. And if it's too much, we won't do it.
So what are some of your takeaways, you know, from the first season, Married to Medicine?
From my first season, never trust the biatch. I'm like, never trust these hoes. I'm like,
honey, we didn't need Married to Medicine for that. You could be walking down the streets.
right. Okay. I just learned that not everybody, you're not able to share certain things. Even though you're amongst medical professionals, you would think that you would be able to share certain things that are sensitive to you and out of your control when it comes down to your medical condition. But I've learned that you can't do that. I've learned that, like, not with everybody, because no matter the profession, and, you know, it's just, you're still going to get some backlash. Some people will make fun of you. And, you know, that's what I've learned. And it's a shame. It's a damn shame that you can't do that. And, you know, I have to be the bigger person, being that I'm the youngest. That sucks.
Right.
That sucks. Yeah.
So if you do decide to come back for a season, what do you plan to do different?
I plan on just maybe not really, you know, that thing with Heavenly, like I probably wouldn't showcase as much as my marriage, any issues that we're going through. I mean, I'm gonna still show some issues because I feel like that's what people want to see, real issues. Hell, you know, I like at the same time, I can't really worry about what everybody else says to me and putting their two cents in. If they got their two cents, then you know, I like be prepared. If you want to react and respond to something, be prepared for my reaction as well. Like, you know, it may not be good for you. You know what I'm saying? It may not be, but I've learned that not to share those things. But you know, I don't know. I think I toy with it. You know, I might. Now I know, like maybe not drink on camera because they can make you look like you drink alcohol all day. You know, but then again, like I don't drink a lot. Like I drink Crown here and there every once in a blue moon, but shoot, I learned like, you know, maybe not drink too much during my scenes or whatever. Like just be aware, you know, keep on your toes. That's all. Like I said, like it's, you know, it's entertainment. People
Right.
still gotta do what they gotta do.
Right.
Yeah,
Right.
to entertain the people. But it's so funny how people get so invested, like, oh my God, she said access to the money. Like,
Right.
you know, you can tell in that scene it was like you see me laughing, but you don't even see me laughing out loud. You see me like it's muted. And then you don't even see Heavenly really ask the question, like
Right, they
he
did cover her up with some other B-roll. I did notice that.
just So it's just like, you know, people, I get it. And you know, people are very invested and they believe what they want to believe. But, you know, it's funny because it's, you know, this TV, like, you know, I guess it's supposed to cause like a lot of emotion. You like, that's what you want from the people.
Right. So I wanna segue away from Married to Medicine. I think we have hit on some really good questions. So, like I mentioned, with your intro, you did serve in the United States Air Force. So, thank you so much for your service.
Thank
So,
you.
how was it, and how long were you in the service?
It was, I mean, I would say it was bittersweet. There was great things about it because I met some awesome people. I was a medic in the reserves. I was a pharmacy technician, and I went to school amongst other armed services. And it was the Army, the Navy, the Coast Guards, and then it was us. And I thought that was a really cool experience because it's like all the different uniform services. And then like we had to like adhere to, we had to say their creed in the morning, like the sailor's creed. And you know, we had to like learn their terminology. Like we say latrine, which is the bathroom. They say the head. You know, it was just like it was fun. Like it was fun just meeting new people when I was in school. And then I joined the reserves along with my sister. She worked in logistics. But we joined to help us go to school because it's like, you know, it was going to be very expensive for us to both go to college for my parents. So I wanted to get some type of tuition assistance to help out with that. And I got in and then we started going to college with my sister. We both went to college. And I did the reserves for 10 years. And then I volunteered for an assignment in San Antonio, Texas. And I went active duty and I learned a new job. I was an information analyst. I was working in the Freedom of Information Act management team. I was there for about a year and some change. And I really enjoyed it. Like it allowed me to retrain from being a pharmacy tech and into an information analyst. And then I had a clearance. And then I worked at night and I worked for another agency while I was on active duty. And I upgraded to a top secret clearance, which allowed me to move to DC. And I moved to DC. I started working for that Director of National Intelligence. I worked for Department of Agriculture, Department of Defense. I did a lot of contracting work and I enjoyed it. And it was just so new, like coming from Texas, being from Killeen, going from Killeen and then going to DC. And you know, I'm a country girl. I like to consider myself a country girl. So like going from Texas and then going to DC and like riding past the monument every day, and I'm like, this is my life. And I started getting out, girl. I started getting out and I was like living my best life. I was that young, you know, had, you know, when you find you got six figures, you going out, you know, you feel like you on top of the world. I felt like I was on top of the world. Like right? I was dating, I was traveling, I was having a great time. But my sister, she's always been my wingman. She's always been my wingman. And my sister always has my back. I mean, when we came out of the womb together, we went to school together, we did all sports together, we served in the Air Force alongside together. Kenesha deployed. I never deployed. I never went to Afghanistan because of some medical conditions that I had, but my sister deployed twice. And when I tell you, we talked every day, man. I was getting like really emotional when she first went over there, because I remember being in college. And she took a break because she had to deploy. She was in college as well. She took a break. She had to go deploy to Afghanistan. And I remember I was in school and they played this. I don't know why they were playing this. It was in one of my, I had like a class where we were like building things. Like it was, I can't remember. It was some type of like class that I was building stuff. It was some type of sports class though. But I remember they played troops coming home in caskets or whatever, and I just bawled out crying. Like my sister had just deployed and I ran out the classroom like bawling out, just tears, and I was upset, I was shaking. And it's just like when my sister deployed, she had a lot of issues while she was over there and she wasn't getting the help that she needed. So when it comes down to the troops and like my philanthropy and me giving back and making sure the troops are good, like it's like catering, like how I did with my sister, because I know what it's like, you know, even though I wasn't over there, I know what my sister went through. She didn't have the help that she needed. And, you know, anytime I made care packages, I put a lot of thought into it. Like Valentine's Day, I'm, you know, decorating the inside of the box, wrapping paper and putting hearts everywhere and notes and getting all her favorite candies and all that and hair products she needed. Like, you know, I know what it's like to be, really be wanting some. Kenesha's like, oh, Kenesha's like, I want some cheese dip. I'm like, okay, well, let me go ahead and get you a can of Rotel and put this Velveeta up in there. I got you, sis. You know, it's just like, I it feels good to receive those kind of things that people are looking out for you and they love you. And my sister, she was my wingman. Like, I was there for her and she's always been there for me. And I, like, regardless of what people see us getting, you know, getting into it or whatever, like, that's what we do. But we sisters at the end of the day. Right. They ain't ever gonna change.
Right.
I know within the Air Force, I believe 71% of Blacks are punished more harshly than their white counterparts. Mm-hmm. And it's the truth. I will say it's the truth because I've experienced it myself. And it kind of traumatized me in the end, because it's like, you don't feel like nobody's looking out for you except for us. You know, that's or in your family. And I remember when Kenesha deployed, I actually got really upset with her leadership, because I remember she deployed and someone, I was on drill weekend that weekend. I was in my uniform. I was back in the States and we were in the same unit, but I was in the medical squadron. Kenesha was in logistics, but she had deployed. But if someone told me, was like, somebody came crying to me and said, hey, your sister, like, I guess they were bombed or something like that. And they were on FaceTime with my sister. And I guess one of her leadership was like, well, y'all take that out of the other room. It is what it is. Stuff happened every day. And like, I was so hot, freaking marched up to that squadron. I was like, I want to know who the hell said that about my sister, because my sister ain't no damn rag doll y'all can throw over there in Afghanistan. Like, she don't mean nothing. Cause she mean everything to me. So I was hot. I went in, they had to calm me down. Like, I went in there threatening people. That's how bad I was. Like, that's how angry I was. And, you know, but one of my leadership in my unit, she talked to me, and I think that she was like one of the commanders. Like, she was a lieutenant colonel or whatever. She was talking to me and she understood where I was coming from. Like, you know, like, that was out of pocket. Like, my sister's leadership should have never done that, should have never said it. I mean, I went through things as well with my promotion. A lot of us went through some things with our promotion. And I remember graduating from Airman Leadership School. You're supposed to go through that. You can do it online, or you can do it. You can go to a base to do it. And it's usually a month long. So I decided that I was going to learn how to be a good leader, and I was getting ready to get promoted to staff sergeant. I was a senior airman at the time. I was an E4. And I went to through Airman Leadership School and graduated out of Barksdale Air Force Base, came back, graduated. The day I got back at my unit, I was supposed to be getting promoted. They denied my promotion. There was no reason why they were denying it. Like, they tried to make up some excuse, like, oh, this happened months ago. You were being insubordinate. You were being a rogue airman. And they were trying to get me on some stuff they really couldn't get me on, because I'm like, okay, I just graduated from Airman Leadership School. Why are you counseling me on something that happened months ago? You should have been done that. Like, I'm now, you know, I'm ready. Like, I've already went through school for this. So it's like, you're saying that I'm not ready, but you're not, you know, being a actual leader. You're not being a NCO, a non-commissioned officer right now, because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And they, you know, they really couldn't say nothing. Like, I had been volunteering for the Red Cross. I just graduated from school. I had great PT scores, almost damn perfect. So it was just like, why are y'all denying me? You know, they really had no reason. And they're like, well, just keep doing what you're doing, Mayo. You're doing a great job. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing a great job. Well, give me my damn promotion. And they had, eventually I threatened them. I threatened to call, file an EO, equal opportunity complaint, an IG complaint, inspector general complaint. And they ended up there, like, I threatened it, and they just gave it to me. So it was just like, okay, y'all out here playing. Y'all out here playing in our faces. And it's just like, you know, one day I came in and they had me like following my leadership around one day. And as if I was like, went missing, MIA one day when I came in for drill. And all I did was renew my military ID. And I remember they had me following around my NCO all damn day. Like, I had just been missing. And like, mind you, my leadership, he knew exactly where I was. But still, like, it was some white lady, you know, she was saying that, well, we didn't know where you were. Well, my leadership knew who I was. She was like the head. I think she was like the senior NCO, and then the NCO that I was under, like, he knew where I was. So again, you know, like, you playing with me. And like, and that's why I'm really passionate about helping like young airmen and people that are just starting out in the military, because you don't have people that's looking out for them either, you know, especially black airmen, you know, young airmen, they come in. Like, I like to tell LaRose some stuff that I've been through, like, you know, make sure you document everything, you know, like, you know, because not everybody's going to be looking out for you. They looking out for themselves. And some of them never been in a leadership role. And just because you graduated doesn't make you a leader. Just because you graduated from school doesn't make you a leader, you know. So I've learned a lot while I was in the military, and there's things that I did like about it. I like when somebody, a little girl, look at me and, like, you know, they look up to me. That warms my heart. It does, you know. Or the fact that I'm just serving, you know, serving other people, like, that makes me feel good. That's who I am. So being in the military, I enjoyed a lot of it, but I think that it was just time for me to move on to something else. And now I can volunteer. I'm looking to volunteer now for the USO at the airport and other places, and just giving my time to volunteer that way and helping out the troops that way.
And everyone that's listening, one thing that she said I want y'all to leave with is, not just with the military, but in the civilian world, document every single thing. Every single thing. Every single thing.
Everything. Yes, everything. You have to.
If you could send an email, that's going to be your best friend. Do it.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. That'll save you. It'll mm-hmm. save you. And it saved me a few times in my life, in the military, outside it. always document everything. And you know, I have to slap my hand a couple of times every once in a while, like Leticia. Now you know dang well you should have wrote that down.
So tell me what's next for you.
What's next for me is right now I'm trying to plan for a family, a little baby. I'm praying to God that that happens. I just had my surgery back in August. So everything was good. They said my tubes were open for the endometriosis. So everything was fine. So me and Gregory just now started actively working on that. And just business ventures. Like I'm trying to figure out, like I want to do this tea business. So I've been trying to get this website up. I've been trying to get the teas together, the different blends that I have. Trying them, and you know, and then I want to sell some t-shirts. Access to the money coming soon. access to the money, yes. So I want to sell some t-shirts, maybe put some no mo on there, you know, put the definition really what no mo, what no mo is. Like y'all heard what I said the first time.
Right, no mo.
No mo, right.
I love it. Well, is there anything else you would like to add in?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I would just leave people and just say, like, go, I don't care what anybody says. You guys go after what you believe in. Don't be afraid to make the first move. Don't be afraid to introduce yourself when it comes down to meeting guys, meeting people in general. That has opened up a lot of doors for me, and it's always worked for me. And I encourage other women to do the same, and even men, do the same. Don't be afraid to go after what you want and what you believe in.
Right, because had I not said something to you on TikTok, I wouldn't be doing this interview.
Okay, right. Hey, girl.
I think that is a great way for us to end the show. I thank you so much for just spending your time out with me. I hope everyone can have a better understanding of Leticia Lumford, okay? And if they don't, fuck y'all. It don't matter.
Okay, right. Okay, goodbye. You ain't gotta watch us.
Right. And make sure y'all are tuning in to the second half of Married to Medicine. It comes back on when? In January?
It'll be not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. So I don't know what date that is.
I think that's the second. That's the second Sunday in January.
Yes.
So second Sunday in January. I look forward to the second half, the reunion, because it looks like it's going to be more drama.
It is more drama. And I'm definitely there in the drama in the center.
I love it. Well, thank you all for listening to the Conversation Room. Tell them where they can follow you.
You guys can follow me on my Instagram and my Instagram, my YouTube, and also my TikTok. It's the real sweet underscore T-E-A-T.
Great. And I'll have it in the description box for everybody. Follow me, Reese Alisa, in the Conversation Room on Instagram. Let's chit chat. And thank you again, and thank you everybody for listening to the Conversation Room podcast. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Conversation Room podcast with Reese Alisa. Be sure to follow us on our social media platforms at The Conversation Room. Follow our hosts at Reese Alisa on Instagram and Twitter. And be sure to send us an email, ReeseAlisaPodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, Convo listeners.